I love you, I love you, I love you. You are my chosen few, and I love you. I have searched the world over, and very few have I found who have sacrificed their all. And I say unto you this day, I love you. I love you for trusting me. I love you for believing in my son, Jesus. I love you for walking in the Spirit with me. I love you because you truly do believe that the angelic host is forever around about you, waiting to assist you in every area of your life. I love you beyond measure. I tell you, my children, you shall take this love to the nations. You shall take this love around the world for me. And you shall see a great harvest of lost souls coming into my kingdom. This love will even bring my prodigals back home. This love will manifest itself so strong that darkness cannot even resist it. It will draw those who were in darkness into the marvelous light. My love abounds throughout eternity. It's always been about my love for my children. And this day I want to tell you one more time that I love you. I want to saturate you in my oil of joy. And I want to bring you to the higher heights in my kingdom. To the rest of you I say, I am love. And love is pouring himself into you this day. And you will no longer be the same. All discouragement is being destroyed this second. Everything that's been malfunctioning in your life is being brought into alignment with my word. You will no longer wonder what I'm doing. You will know what I am doing. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I am with my children. For we have a mighty works to do in this season. We need to bring in the harvest. We need to bring in the prodigals. We need to bring in those who are searching and they don't know what they're searching for. I have chosen just a handful of faithful ones that I'm going to work through. And then the world will explode with my glory. My glory cloud will be all over the world. And the miraculous will occur. Know that your sufficiency is in me and not in yourself. Know that I am for you and not against you. And what I've called you to do, you are well able to accomplish. Somebody in here, you've had a tormenting spirit that's plaguing you. God's taken that tormenting spirit away from you right now. And somebody in here this morning, your walk with God is very, very shallow. There's no deepness in you, and that's why the enemy can buffet you on all fronts. God is removing that shallow grave. And he's placing the sure foundation under you. And you will see that the enemy will no longer plague you and torment you and take you places you do not want to go. Thank God is saying, arise and shine. Children, arise and shine. Walk in the liberty I have given you. Forsake all the things and the cares of this world and just walk in a secure place with me. Thank you, Father. Father God, I just truly do thank you for visiting us this morning. First of all, in praise and worship. And then right now, Father, as we go forth with the rest of the service, Father, we welcome you to interrupt any time you so desire. And Father God, minister peace to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That baby, did somebody take it out or something? Does it have to go up to the nursery? Yeah, just one of you girls, Alyssa, you want to take the baby up to the nursery? Not the other children, just that baby. So that the parent can enjoy the service. God told me not to have the nursery because, and we didn't know why, but the kids have really been ministering to. God's been prophesying to them. They've been going out in the spirit, and God has changed them. God wants to use the little children. And if I was your parent, I believe that God was going to touch my child every time I walked into the house of God. And then not only touch them there, but let them carry that touch home and wherever you go, because God loves the little children, right? I've seen little children 2 years old prophesy in this church. Lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. 2 years old. And if God can do it then, he can do it now. And he desires to do it now. You know, God moved mightily Wednesday night. He's been moving, but Wednesday night he just showed off a little bit. And God said, we have become a hot spot. And that means God is going to be moving in the services. So we never know what to expect when we come in. But whatever God so desires to do, he can do. All right, God wants to talk about our weapons of warfare, that they are not carnal. So God said, your weapons are not carnal, but mighty to pulling down the strongholds of darkness. I have given you weapons that never fail if used properly. And 2 Corinthians 10 is where you can find that, in 2 Corinthians 10:4. God goes on to say, the weapons I bestow upon my people are infused with a mighty power of the glory. You see, my glory is threefold. It has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit infused within it, and it packs a wallop that destroys all darkness if used in the right manner. This power must be used with boldness, but infused with humility. You cannot use this power with a carnal nature or with pride. You know what my word tells you about pride in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, God has been dropping his glory in small increments. But he's going to increase it till all we do is come into the house of God and sit in his glory. And he's going to do whatever he wants to do with that glory. And God is trying to teach us about our weapons of warfare. This is a good message. It's a teaching message. Please don't take it as condemnation. God is trying to teach us that if we don't walk right, then we can't carry the glory. All right? You must be flowing in my spirit, living holy. Now, this is some of the things you must be doing. You must be flowing in my spirit, living holy and righteous before you can carry my glory in all of its fullness. I will infuse you from on high. I will steady your legs to walk the path I have placed before you. You will never be ashamed, nor will you ever be overtaken by the enemy. I like that when he said, I will steady your legs to walk the path I have placed before you, because sometimes our paths become really rocky, don't they? And, you know, and sometimes we falter and fall. But God said now he's going to steady our legs and we're going to be able to walk through anything he has us to walk through. God said, did you ever wonder why my son Jesus could say, it is written, when he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness? It was because he was infused with the glory from on high. It wasn't because he was a son of God. It was because he was infused with the glory from on high. Why can you not stay free from your carnal nature? You need the glory. It is the glory that sets you free. Have I not said the truth will set you free in John 8:32? Walking in my word, following my commandments, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty brings the glory, and the glory sets you free. Now back here where he says the truth will set you free, that's a teaching in all by itself. You know, it's just somebody telling you Jesus is alive and you believe in it. That's not what God's talking about. The truth of how you need to be walking in the Spirit to carry the glory is what the truth is all about. Too many have been taught you can do what you want to do and still go to heaven. You can do what you want to do and still, you know, have the gifts in operation. I can tell you this. You know, once God gives you a gift and you backslide, he does not take your gift from you. You can still operate in the gifts. That's why we need to be fruit inspectors and check out the Spirit. Check out the fruit that a person's life is showing so that we aren't deceived. All right? I was in a prayer group that was like that. All kind of healings, all kind of things took place, but there was all kind of sin in that prayer group too. And I said, God, I said, how can this be? Miracles are happening in this prayer group, but I know that there's adultery and everything else going on here. He said, I never take my gifts back. So please, if you're going to carry God's glory, if you're going to use his gifts, please make sure that you're pure and holy. Don't give God a black eye. Okay, walking in my word, following my commandments, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty brings the glory, and the glory sets you free. Why do you linger outside the camp when I have invited you over and over again to come and sup at my table? At my table is the glory. As you dine and sup with the Father, the glory will pour out upon you. As you dine and sup with the Father, that's when the glory is going to come upon you. Your hearts are not open to the full. Now listen to this. Your hearts are not open to the fullness of the Godhead. The glory is in the Godhead. I have given you all authority to destroy all darkness, no matter how gross it becomes. Not just here and there, but all darkness. If we as a body of Christ don't destroy all darkness, we destroy a little here, a little there, but we don't get it all destroyed, therefore we stay bound to a certain degree. All right, God says, why do you suppose the enemy gained so much ground in my houses of worship? The worship was not pure. The worship was tainted with strife and jealousy. You see, little ones, purity of heart is what I am looking for. And when I find purity of heart, you will see the glory in full manifestation. So he said, why do you suppose the enemy gained so much ground in my houses of worship? In this house, we had people up here doing praise and worship. I closed down to praise and worship because there was too much strife and too much jealousy in it. And that's when we started using the videos. I was not going to allow, and I will to this day allow, people to stand up here and do praise and worship if they're not following God with all of their heart. Because what you are, you push out onto the people. So if you want to be a praiser and a worshiper, then you need to be walking in the glory. You need to be walking in purity of heart in the fullness of the Godhead. All right, God said, I do not uphold strife nor jealousy nor contentions. The foundation must be love, pure love. The love cannot be a mixture. It must be pure from the inside out. The enemy has come into my houses of worship and stirred the darkness in the hearts of my children until he was able to take over with one contention after the other. You know, he says the enemy has come into his house of worship and stirred the darkness in the hearts of my children. And what it got the other night, God said, I want your hearts. And Wednesday night, he said, I want your hearts. I forget what he said he wanted to do with their hearts, but it was to purify them. See, God is getting us ready to be glory carriers, excuse me. And he's trying to get us, he wants us to see this morning, you need to be checking yourself as you're hearing this. What is it in me that's not allowing the glory to be brought forth in its fullness? All right? And I was sitting there thinking during praise and worship whenever we had the glory working all the time. I remember people started coming, and then Tuesday night became church. I was upset with God. I said, God, but this is our night to pray. He said, you allow me to minister to my people no matter what night they come. So Tuesday nights became just like Sundays or Wednesdays. Then Thursdays always had a teaching, and the church filled up with that too. And so then the glory fell then also. And so, see, because of the pureness of heart, God just brought the people in, and God just ministered to them. So let's not do what I did and try to tell God, no, Tuesday night you can't minister to the people because we need to be praying, you know. Or I'm trying to teach on Thursdays, so we can't do let the glory fall on Thursdays. See what I'm saying? We just have to be vessels that are cleansed and then let God just use us anytime, any way, anywhere he wants to. All right? I'm telling you, this God told me Wednesday night, this has become a hot spot. I'm telling you that God's getting ready to really uproot this church. Yep, I don't mean move us. I mean really bring the fullness of his glory into it. And you know, we're going to go into the greater works that God's word talks about. God said, I have begun a works already. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. And I am working on, he said, I have begun a works already. He has. And I am working on bringing the greater works into my houses of worship. When you can come into the house with a pure, untainted heart, you will carry the glory, for the glory cloud will drop and never lift. See that? Then you shall walk in the miraculous and not before. Now, see, I had to call Brother Chris last night because I just had to bounce off the wall. I said, Brother Chris, I said, I'm a mess because I've lost faith in the people. And I said, I want to get it out in the open so the enemy can't work with that, because he was really working with me. I said, I ask people to do something. They say they're going to do it, and they don't do it. I said, I really can't trust people, and I've lost faith in them. And so I talked to him for a while, and I said, good night. I'll talk to you later, and hung up on him. And then I went before the Lord. But see, I had to get that contention out of my heart so that God could continue to drop the glory in the house. And I don't know if you've ever lost faith in people or not, or trust in people. If you haven't, that's wonderful. But if you've been there or go there, don't keep it there. Get rid of it, because that will stop the glory from flowing. All right? God said, I have already designated houses of worship that will be hot spots. They are houses of refuge. We're, God called us a house of refuge years ago. We need to get our signs back up. All right. I have already designated houses of worship that will be hot spots. They are houses of refuge where the battle weary can come in and dine at the master's table, never fearing what the world can do to them, period. People should just come in here and the glory should be just flowing and flowing. And people forget about the cares. They forget about the fears they had. And all they do is just lose themselves in God. That's what they should be able to do when they come in here. Because he said they will feel safe and secure. They will know what it is to drink from the fountain of living waters, and they will never digress back into the world. Don't you long for that day once again? We used to do that. I'm not allowed to want what I used to have, though. So I don't. Because God said, what I'm going to do is greater than what you came out of. So I'm looking for the greater works that God's going to do with his church. Not what he used to do, but what he used to do. I don't know how he's going to trump that, but I know he's going to. All right? Then God said, the holy will no longer linger with the profane. My word speaks of be ye holy as I am holy in 1 Peter 1:15-16. And then 1 Corinthians 5:11-13 says, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, you're not the world, but a brother, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an adulterer or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person. In other words, he's saying, don't let evil people continue to sit amongst you. If you've been training them and telling them the right way to live and they keep doing what they shouldn't do, then he's saying, don't let them sit there no longer. God said, my churches will no longer be a mixture. I have been separating the sheep from the goats. I will no longer allow the goats to come into my house and taint it with their dark, wicked ways. The world is clamoring for peace. They want love and mercy. Only the holy can show them these attributes. Let's read that again. The world is clamoring for peace, are they not? They want love and mercy. Only the holy can show them these attributes. Period. In my word I spoke, love covers a multitude of sins in 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And really that scripture is talking about inside the church. You know, when somebody's in sin and you're working with them, keep loving them and keep ministering to them until God brings them out of that. And love covers a multitude of sins. So it doesn't matter how much sin is in them. We're supposed to keep loving them as Jesus loved us. And that love will wash them clean. All right? Then God goes on to say, the world is the world because they do not see the love of Jesus. Children, we need to carry the love of Christ to the world. It is love that will bring in the harvest. It is love that will make true disciples. God goes on to say, I have been pouring my love into your vessels, and now this, and he did that this morning, didn't he? Poured his love into us. I have been pouring my love into your vessels, and now it is time for you to freely give out what you have freely received. You find that Matthew 10:8. The world does not have the weapons you have. They do not know the foundation of love, the blood of my Son, grace, mercy, long-suffering. They do not know that they are not warring against flesh and blood. The world doesn't know how to use, they don't have these weapons. So it's you and I, as we are totally full of love, we go to them and teach them of these weapons that the world is going to be set free. Now, God has been saying that in this dispensation of time, when he drops his glory in its fullness, people are going to walk into wherever, the auditoriums, houses of God, and be instantly set free, instantly cleansed. And all we'll have to do then is just teach them of God's ways, because God's going to do all the freeing. And that's why we need, God's trying to get us to be vessels of honor, who carry his glory, so that we're ready then to minister to those who don't know what we know. And see, too many in the house of God get discouraged before they get to the place of, you know, of really getting set totally and completely free, and they stop. And then who is there to speak to those who are messed up? These are, God said, these are attributes that only the remnant know, you know, what we just read up there. Remnant, you must carry these weapons to a lost and dying generation, a generation that has been deprived of fathers and mothers, a generation that has been deprived of family, a generation that has been bound by the gross darkness of hate, drugs, alcohol, perversion, and all manner of evil. God said, there are even those who sit in my house, service after service, bound by the evil darkness. Why? They need the glory. And see, if there's just enough of us in here walking in pureness and holiness, and we can carry the glory, those who are fighting all these demonic dark forces and trying to get set free, we as glory carriers can cause the glory to drop in here, and the people will be set free. Are you understanding that? Ask yourself this question. When God drops his glory, what keeps me from receiving the fullness of the glory? Wednesday night, God said, some of you did not receive the fullness of my glory tonight. So ask yourself this question. When God drops his glory, what keeps me from receiving the fullness of the glory? In other words, check yourself out. What is there inside of you yet that's holding back the glory of God? All right? Hebrews 12, verse 4 says, you have not yet, and this could be the reason why, all right? You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Now, we all know that God has chastised us somewhere along the way. We all know he has rebuked us. And, you know, with me, for a whole year, he chastised me. Then finally he said, I'm finished chastising you. I never want to go through that again. That's the driest spell you could ever go through in your life, when God just lets you be anointed to teach. And then when you're done teaching, no anointing, you're in a dry place. All right? He told me not to do something. I said, I'm going to do it if I want to. So he said, go ahead. So for a whole year, I prayed for that price for that. Somebody said something bad about me, and then somebody else said, why aren't you upset? I said, why should I be upset? It's not true. No, you need to be upset. They actually convinced me I need to be upset. I said, all right, I'm going to be upset. And God said, don't be upset. And I said, I will if I want to. For a whole year, he just took his anointing away from me. Any time I had anointing was to preach. Don't go there. Once you're walking to glory, and then God takes it away from you, and you walk in that dry place, you'd rather be dead. You really would. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? When I read that, I thought, well, that's not true today, because kids don't respect their parents anymore. Isn't that true? I mean, the majority of kids do not respect their parents. Now, Scripture says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Period. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for the few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, you know, our parents. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. God chastens us that we become better children for his kingdom. He's purifying us, and he's setting us free from all the junk of the world. Luke 22:39, coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When Jesus came to the place, Jesus said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Why should we pray? So that we don't enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and Jesus knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, when we start out, Hebrews 12:4 said, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. And Jesus then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And why did Jesus was really striving? He did not want to go to the. He did not want to get the whipping and go to the cross. And he was pleading with God, you know, I really don't want to do this. But his final thing was, not my will, but your will be done. You know, sometimes when we are steeped in sin and we're trying to get out, we think God's going to just, and it's gone. No, because he knows you'll go right back again. So he's going to make you work. He's going to make you so sick of that sin, you never want to see that sin ever again. And then he'll set you free. But do you give up in the process of trying to get set free because it doesn't leave you instantly? Think about this. Yeah, I know somebody who has a mother who has cancer who is not faring too well, younger than I am. And I was telling my daughter if God hadn't spoken to me and told me that I was healed, I wouldn't be fighting for my life like I am today. But I'm standing on his word. This other person isn't standing on his word even though they love the Father. And, you know, Chris reminded me of Smith Wigglesworth, who had kidney stones, right? And he would go to every service, and the blood would run down his pant leg. And great signs, wonders, and miracles followed him at every service. And his wife would say, you can't go out there the way, you know, you're too sick. But he kept going, and one night when he was ministering, I mean, the miracles were everywhere. This went on for quite some time. He was agonizing pain. And just when he was ministering one night, he was healed. Didn't happen overnight. Didn't happen with one prayer. But as he kept ministering for God and letting the signs, wonders, and miracles flow into other people, God healed him. How many people you know today, well, if God's not going to heal me, I'm not going to do anything for him. You know, people go down that route. And you say, okay, so you're saying God's a miracle working God. How come he doesn't do a miracle for you? He did. It's going to be manifested. I'm just going to keep on going. You see, and you need to do the same thing. Whatever God has spoken over your life, he's going to do it. He's already done it. It just hasn't manifested yet. And you have to keep on going, and one day it'll be there. You know, he said, you know, he told us, he said, he's going to fill this church up once again, and then overnight we're going to go into a new building. So we can't even look for a new building yet, because this church hasn't been filled up yet. I don't care what people say to me. God said, I'm going to fill this church up again. So what we're doing is we're walking by faith, waiting for God to fill the church up. And then we know that overnight, and he said the new building would be there and everything would be in it. All we have to do is walk into it. So God's preparing that building, and that's what I'm standing on. See, what is God's... that testimony is so you can see. What is God saying to you? If he spoke it to you, it's truly coming to pass. And he keeps telling me, daughter, I'm working behind the scenes. He's getting everything prepared so that when we go into that building, we won't lose the building. You know, we're ready to go into that building. We're ready to window. It's going to not be this small, and we'll be ready to minister to the multitudes that he sends in there. You give up too quick. You have not yet, what did he say? You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And if you're doubting God, that's sin. All right. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to in God for pulling down strongholds. The scripture highlights two important characteristics of our weapons. One is that they are not carnal, not worldly, meaning they are not made with hands, they are spiritual. They are invisible weapons, and when applied, they make a visible impact. A second characteristic is that they are mighty through God. These weapons are no good if you're going to use them in your carnal nature. Now, we need to allow God to infuse our weapons with power from above so we can be glory carriers. I'll call you Mr. R because Teresa said I should, because I always mess his name up. You are truly going to carry the glory to the nations. You're going to go to places that they haven't really heard of God, or they heard of God, but they don't know him in his fullness. And that glory that you're going to carry to them is going to cause signs and wonders to occur. And you're going to see a flood of souls being saved in the foreign countries. Even in the United States, you will go and you will see souls being saved. So God said, don't get stuck in foreign, because he's going to use you here in the United States also. So I said, we need to allow God to infuse our weapons with power from above so we can be glory carriers. Now, who in here today wants to be infused with power from above? So that whenever you say, devil, get out of here, the devil leaves, you know. And whatever you speak, he has to listen. The altar's open for that, because God wants to infuse us even with his glory today.